Ellen?
Yeah.
Why do you want to walk your spiritual path?
I want to walk my spiritual path because for me it's natural. It's coming natural, and it's speaking to me. That's my path. I have been in the world and have had everything, and I have seen that that was absolutely not fulfilling. That was a short time, and then the joy or whatever experience I had, it passed away. But if I have, if I live what I really am, this bliss which I am, that euphoria, this natural beingness. I know everything is just natural in me, and I don't need to live with possessions and with judgment. And I know this is so destructive when I'm concerned about other people and I'm not focused on myself and sitting in between two chairs, having neither the physical nor the spiritual. It's so confusing, and it's not a real happiness. So I know within myself that I am divine, and when I can listen and take the time to follow the divine, it's true, all is in divine order. And when I experience that, then I can only follow this path, which is my spiritual path.
Ingeborg, why do you want to follow your spiritual path?
Because I came to the conclusion, I realized that all the outer, even if it like it, I like it, or say, oh yes, that is nice, it is beautiful to live in nice, have nice modern things. But things just are. But the happiness, the real happiness, is without thinking of these things. This comes because it is there, without a reason or a special event. That is happiness, not because there is, I go to a movie or I go to a nice meeting. It is nice, but the happiness which I think is the real one, it comes from within. And there you need nothing. You are just happy with what you can achieve, being myself and having fun.
Okay. Sylvia, why are you following your spiritual path? Why are you following your spiritual path above all other things?
Because I have found out in the time that I'm living here that it's an absolute thrill to be in charge of my life. And whenever I have these glimpses of absolute happiness, being untouched or non-judgmental, there is such a freedom in that I want to experience that at all times and always. And that's why I walk the spiritual path, which at the same time is also a physical path, because even if I have this sense of total happiness, it also transcends to my physical experience too, because my body is whole and perfect, my mind is clear and free, and I think beautiful thoughts and all that. Once I have experienced that only partly or at moments, I just can't go back. I just can't go back.
Think about, so many people, they say they want to follow the spiritual path. They want to walk the spiritual path. They want to live in the spiritual path. And our monks in the monasteries around the world say this, and our nuns in the nunneries around the world say this. Our people who dedicate their life to the ministry say this. And what is it that they're saying? They're all saying they must look within to find what is important, but they're looking without while they're looking within. And when you look without, while you're looking within, you don't see anything within, you don't hear anything within, you merely think how great I am because I'm following the spiritual path, because I'm doing something of a higher nature. You think how great I am because I have dedicated my life to the ministry and I'm going out and raising up the consciousnesses of other people in my world, you know, and I'm giving them my life as a sample of perfection for which they can use as a role model for themselves. Haha. And the priests and the nuns and the monks all feel the same thing. Monks, perhaps not as much as the priests and the nuns, but the priests and the nuns think that they have an edge on spirituality, and they're going to share this with people and guide them to their own inner path. And these are all very noble things. And the monks, they basically say they're going to look for it within themselves and have nothing to do with the outer as much as possible. Although there are no monks on earth, there never have been has been a monk on earth who has dedicated himself to the inner path exclusively. They always want to eat. They always want to drink. They always want to wear something warm and cozy. They always want to be protected. They're sheltered from the weather and so forth. And they always want to be, the monks want to be protected from the attitudes and the vicissitudes of mankind. Their wars, their political actions and all these things. The monks have taught themselves to be separate from that. And in a way, here at the Absolute Monastery, we have done something similar to that. Now, people who really want to walk their spiritual path usually wait until late in their life. They wait until their older years. Some people do it a little earlier. Now, every time you see a person who is handicapped, he is a person who wants to walk his spiritual life very definitely, but hasn't got the inner strength to do it without crippling himself, without causing himself to be incapable of doing many things that other people do, to have the distractions that other people do, to play sports and be interested in many things. People who are crippled, people who are aged, and who are I don't like to use the words, so I don't think of it. They're aged and they are senile. They don't have the ability to think. They don't have the ability to be a normal human being. And then look at the people in our mental institutions. The people in our mental institutions, though, are usually possessed by their mind. Their mind owns them and possesses them. And their mind tells them what they must think and what they must do and how they must live. But you look at these people who are called vegetables, who live in aged homes, and they do not recognize people anymore. They do not do anything but just their normal bodily functions and are fed. And they live sometimes a long time. And we think to ourselves, how sad to live in that state of consciousness. And I say to you how blessed they are. Because these people have let go of virtually everything in the outer, and they're living in their inner. They're living in their inner peace. Look at the gurus and teachers and pundits over in India and China and elsewhere around the world. These are people who go into the desert. We have them here in America too. These are people who go into the desert and they sit and pray and meditate. Perhaps they have a cave, perhaps not. Perhaps they have clothing, perhaps not. perhaps they have food, perhaps not. And they listen to that inner voice. They listen to that inner beingness which they are. And what is it that they're hearing? It's a good question, though. What is it that they're hearing as they listen within? When a person is really in prayer and stops the prayer and gives up and just listens to the divine within, what do they hear? What they hear, no one in the world has ever told you this, or no one in the world will ever tell you this. What they hear is that I am peace. I am happy. I am content. They want nothing, need nothing, experience nothing in the outer. Their bodies may be sitting naked in the wind and the snow and the rain, and it's untouched. They may be without food for excessively long times, and they're untouched. They may be without water for a long time, and they're untouched. Now, what kind of a body could go through an experience like that? Only a body that is, I don't want to say absolutely, but only a body that is fully at peace with itself. Only a body that lives in the consciousness of peace. A body that lives in a happy state. Now, you don't understand what that happiness is. I don't understand what that happiness is. But that happiness transcends any happiness we have ever understood. It is peace. It is a feeling of all is right, you know, and it's not right with the world, because there is no world, but all is right with the divine within me. And then you say, all right, why do these people come to this earth? Why don't they just slip into their divine awareness and live that in wherever they may be and not bother to come here? Well, the divine in us and us say we want to play games. And the game we want to play is to remember who we are, be ourselves and have fun. But the thing is, who are we? Are we these things that we think we are? Are we this physical body? Are we this mental body? Are we this world that we live in? I would like to say no, because that's not very nice. The world we live in has unhappy people in it. Now, let's just leave it at that. It has unhappy people in it. People who are not content with what they're experiencing and what the world is experiencing. Would you say that? So, if we have a world with unhappy people in it, we have a world filled with people who haven't listened to the divine within them. Now, they can listen to the divine within them just as easily as anyone else. And few are doing it. The reason few are doing it is because we give ourselves all of these problems which say we have to solve them, be our brother's keeper. We give ourselves all of these dimensions of awareness that say, oh, it feels so good to touch yourself. It feels so good to eat. You feel full, you know. It feels so good to smile because you have a happiness that seems to come inside you and goes away just as quick. You know, we are so bound by the human world, we're so bound by our thoughts, we're so bound by everything that we do, that there's no place to go. There's no place to go. We have the most inane reasons for walking our spiritual path that you could ever want, because that's all we know. All we know is the human. So we equate everything in the human. Now, I ask my students to go into introspection and listen to the divine within and listen to what they really want to do, what their heart tells them to do. And they don't do that. Not because they don't want to, perhaps, but they don't know how. I show them how. And they say, you don't teach us anything. That's something that we've always known. Why don't you practice it? If it's something you've always known, why don't you practice it? Herb, you're not telling us anything new. That's the same. That's right. But why don't you practice it? If I say to a child, say the multiplication tables, and the child doesn't do it, he doesn't have the skill of the multiplication tables in his conscious mind. In his unconscious mind, he always had it. In his unconsciousness, he always was aware of everything. It was always part of his nature. But he hadn't broken through the seal of his conscious mind, which says he didn't know it, that he had to learn it. See, if we could take the seal off our unconscious mind, if you will, that all knowledge and all understanding and all truth is there, then we wouldn't have to learn it. How is it some little children just seem to know the right thing to do, and they've never been instructed in it? They know it because they live in that consciousness of purity and goodness about themselves. They don't think they don't know it, you see. They don't think that it's something they have to learn. And because they don't think that, they don't experience that. Now, that could be true for us, too. Now, let's just put it in the realm of our spiritual awareness. We think we have to become quiet to be spiritually aware. We think we have to turn off our human mind, which seems to manipulate and control us very well, and stop being possessed by the human mind. And so we have to figure out how to stop the human mind from possessing us. That's another one of the things we have to work on. Another one of the things. I was reading in The Power of Now, and in the introduction, the author, the person who was writing the introduction, he made this paragraph here, which I thought was quite good. Our drifting awareness, our tendency to take the path of least resistance by being less than fully awake to the present moment, creates a void, and the time-bound mind, which has been designated to be a useful servant, compensates by proclaiming itself master. Like a butterfly, flittering from one flower to another, the mind engages past experiences or, projecting its own made-for-television movie, anticipates what is to come. Seldom do we find ourselves resting in the oceanic depth of the here and the now, for it is here, in the now, where we find our true self, which lies behind our physical body, shifting emotions, and our chattering mind. The crowning glory of human development rests not in our ability to reason and think, though this is what distinguishes us from the animals. Intellect, like instinct, is merely a point along the way. Our ultimate destiny is to reconnect with our essential being and express from our extraordinary divine reality in the ordinary physical world, moment by moment. Easy to say, yet rare are those who have attained the further reaches of the human development. I think this statement here, our ultimate destiny is to reconnect with our essential being and express from our extraordinary divine reality in the ordinary physical world. We have tried to make the physical world divine. We've tried to make the physical world our technique of accomplishing things, and it doesn't work. When we let go of the physical world, when we let go of these things that we're facing every day, and listen within, we will have the answer. Now, many times we think this means that we will cease to be human beings, that we will cease to be living on the human plane, and that's true, we will. But we will be living on the divine plane in, so to speak, our human bodies. But our human bodies will not have any limitations to them. Our mental attitudes will not have any limitations to them. We will be untouched and one-pointed and unpossessed and non-judgmental. We will be that. That is what unconditional love is all about. That is what our divinity is all about. Now, we can read a lot of books, and we're going to read a lot of books, that's for sure. We can study a lot of philosophies, and we have studied a lot of philosophies already, and we have many more facing us. But all of that is like chaff in the wind. It is of no value to us until we take one little bit of it and live it so completely that that is who we are. And I don't say you shouldn't read other people. I don't say you shouldn't study other philosophies. I don't say you shouldn't do these things. All I say to you, if you're going to be a Catholic, be 100% Catholic, the best Catholic that ever lived on the face of the earth. Follow its teachings to the ultimate. And there is so much good in it that it will change your life. If you're going to be a Mormon, if you're going to be any philosophy, if you're going to be a Kantian, a Jungian, if you're going to be any of these people who have come with great messages, take that message alone and leave all the others alone and follow it to its ultimate goal. Because these people who wrote these things and who performed these wonderful ideas, they had a message to give. And you're reading that message because you're ready to get the benefit from it. If you come to our philosophy, you're ready for the benefit of it. But you're not going to get any benefit unless you're going to be one-pointed in following what it is that we teach. Now, Ellen keeps saying, "Oh, Herb, that sounds like it was written by you. That sounds like it was written by you." Now, what is she saying by that? She is saying, "This is my philosophy, and things that I'm reading are consistent with my philosophy. I do not take hold of anything that is inconsistent with what I believe, because I don't have to argue my philosophy. I merely see my philosophy being expressed in everything I read, in everything I see, in every person I meet, I create." And when we do that, then we will not say, as some of my sponsors have said as I gave lectures around the world, "Herb, you should read this book about this guru here and this great teacher, and you should incorporate that into your teachings." And I just smile. Because if that's what they say, do you know what they're saying? They're saying they haven't read my philosophy. Because if they had read my philosophy, they'd find all the things that I am saying, or that that person is saying, that are appealing to them, are in this philosophy. And it's not that this philosophy is the one and all. It is the one and all, but it's not that it's to be the one and all. It's just the one and all. Can any of you give me what the one and all is? That's right. The one and all is to go within yourself and find peace, to find fulfillment. Now, if any philosophy teaches you to go outside of yourself to do this, I say that philosophy is not benefiting you. I don't say it's bad. It's just not benefiting you. Because now I'm going to make this statement. The world, by and large, tends to look outside. They tend to try to be their brother's keeper. They tend to try to bring peace on earth by violent means. They tend to want to go into outer space with their rockets and their beautiful gadgets. And what is it the divine within says? It says, go in outer space, but go mentally. Go in your spirit. And you already know there. As we heard, perfect time, perfect speed is being there. So we just go in the perfect speed and we're being there. And when are we there?
Now.
Now. There is only now. And as Mr. Eckhart Tolle here in his book, The Power of Now, says, there is only now. And these are beautiful ideas. They're beautiful thoughts. But it's only now. Now, he teaches nothing more than what we are teaching, what we're learning. But he teaches it in a very charming way, very intellectual way. And what he does is a very noble thing. He speaks his philosophy so competently in his mind and in his words that he doesn't need to have illustrations. He lets the philosophical concepts be the illustrations themselves. And this is really quite exceptional, because that will make it timeless. And timeless is what he is teaching. He's teaching the now. Whoever picks up any of his books will instantly be illumined in a way, saying, yes, 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 because there are no illustrations. Now think of that. What about your life? Can you describe to me why you are happy when you're happy? Mostly not. Can you describe to me how it feels to be peace? Mostly not. These are things that are internal things. They're things that are our heart shining forth. They're things that are our inner wisdom telling us. And we don't need to have an answer. We don't need to intellectually understand it. What do we teach in the first lesson of the Art and Science of Wholeness? Not the first lesson, but in the book, The Art and Science of Wholeness, we teach God is not
intellect. He's not reasonable nor logical.
God is not logic or reason. And intellectual, too, would be the same idea there. But God is not logic or reason. And so, if God is not logic or reason, the divine is not logic or reason, we are not logic or reason, we just are. And this would be a wonderful thing for us to become aware of. It'd be a wonderful thing for us to put into our consciousness and to experience. And I heartily recommend it to anyone. Be yourself and have fun. Listen to the divine within. Be peace under all circumstances. And no matter what the world showers on you, and it'll shower these things on you, it'll shower them on you not because you have created it showering on you. Oh, you say, oh, really? It will shower it upon you because what you have created is that you always like to be tested to see if you're doing the right thing. And when all this showering of testing ceases to come, then you know that you have learned your lesson. Then you know that you have passed all the tests. Then you know, like Job, who never gave up his belief that that's all that mattered. Now, in the story of Job, we read about a man who has lost everything, everything that he cared about, everything that was significant, but he would not say that he did not believe in God. And what was he saying? In our vernacular today, he was saying, I believe in myself. I believe in me. I am a good man. I have done everything right, and I will always do everything right. And in the human world, everything was given back to him. But you see, in the divine world, nothing was ever taken from him. Mm-hmm. And so, whatever was given back to him was merely the story that the humans hear. Job needed no such story, for he never lost it. He was always one as his divine self. Are you and am I able to stand forth to all the tests that come into our life and be untouched? Or do we blame other people for our tests? Do we blame the world for the unhappiness that might be thrust upon us, but we don't need to be a part of it? So, stand forth and recognize that as you walk the divine path, the results of walking that divine path are an inner happiness, an inner peace, and what else is there? I love you.